You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Welcome to it, midweek editions here at Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, hope you're all good as we gear up for the spring game road show tomorrow. Come see us at the Single Barrel in Lincoln inside the Graduate 9th and P as we gear up on a Thursday and again Saturday morning for the weekend edition, 8 to 10 before spring game kicks off at 11. So from a programming note, but lots to get into. A bit more of a recruiting flavor today. Who's coming into town this weekend? Is Nebraska in on another Dylan? We'll explain. And yes, Heisman Justice, ... We'll get into it. Not just Reggie Bush, but try and rewrite some wrongs with the Heisman Trophy. Numbers to get in at 489-1240, 800-825-5865. William Kyle News, he's California dreaming. And plenty of NFL draft thoughts. We'll get contacted with our dear friend Jeremiah Searles. Searles on a bit of a timeline. So we'll have Searles here in about 15 minutes. We are excited to talk with Mike Babcock. Babber's coming up at 4:40 to talk Big Red. And then Bill Bender with the sporting news. Bill, a college football aficionado, but also all in on the NFL draft. So Bill Bender at 5 o'clock. Evan Bland to talk some Big Red baseball and spring football thoughts as well in hour 2 at 5:25. Can email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com, and can always check us out on the stream. Hail Varsity YouTube, like and subscribe there. Could also follow us on Twitter, the Hail Varsity Radio Twitter handle at HVarsity Radio. Check that out. Get Elijah locked in at Herbal Essence at Schmidt_radio for me. So there's predictions in the stream before we do our starting five shout-outs that today is the day you hit the wall, Cody Bellinger style, and crash after your whirlwind weekend. You had bowling last night.
You can't make the Cody Bellinger reference with Connor Clark not in studio today.
Sure I can. Give me padding on that brick wall in Wrigley.
and there's no Connor here to argue with you.
Well, losing that offensive production from Bellinger, he might argue it. Well, yeah, put up the padding. We'll have Connor back tomorrow. But how you doing? You feeling good? Do you have smelling salts? Have you had McDonald's today? How many cups of coffee are you in? Was bowling okay? Did you bowl worth a damn last night?
So last night was our final week of the bowling season. Did I bowl worth a damn? Eh. Did it really matter? No. Last night was not for the points. We did finish. So the league championship was last night, which involves the winner of the first half of the season, which runs until the end of December, pitted against the winner of the second half of the season. We won neither halves of the season. We lost in the first half championship, actually. So we got to have fun last night. Our bowling was not for any points. We ended up finishing second overall based on points won throughout the season. So I got a healthy payout there. Other than that, my day today has been a couple cups of coffee this morning. I've been casually trying to put together a couple teams for the Cornhusker State games this summer, looking at both 3-on-3 basketball and 5-on-5 basketball, trying to figure out what's going to be better there before we go to the wiffle ball team. But other than that, it's just looking ahead to spring game Saturday and making it to the weekend. Big weekend, Husker football. Tottenham's playing Arsenal, big rivalry game on Sunday morning. I'm sure you don't care.
I don't.
I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to be doing any umpiring Saturday night after the spring game turn into a full day. We'll see, but just still good to be back at work after the weekend away. It's back to normalcy.
It is. Want to remind you about the Team Jack event going on at the Herdat Sports Bar and Grill. That's Friday.
Great way to start the weekend.
No, it is. And get it kicked off. Of course, Katie Bell, Amir Abdullah, and Nate Gary. Doors going to open at 5 at the La Vista location. And show starts at 5:30. The panel of some great Huskers, Abdullah, Katie Bell, Nate Gary. And, of course, the live show supports the Team Jack Foundation. Get there. All ticket revenue goes directly towards the organization, the fight against pediatric brain cancer. Big shout-out to Kenny Bell for joining us yesterday. He's going to be on the call with BTN this Saturday morning. So good for Kenny. And a Bellenhausen going to be hosting that. So that's big time. And get your RSVP going with your friends at Herdat Sports Bar and Grill, and go support Team Jack. Go see Keddy. Go see Amir. Go see Nate.
And the best part, admission's free.
Yeah.
Not only is this an event to get some insight from some really, really unique people that have a great insight on the Husker football program, as well as the Team Jack Foundation, getting in there for free, a great way to start the week and get yourself some food, get yourself some drinks, and enjoy the event.
Get the bang bang sauce. All right, let's say hello to Tim. Tim was first. Tim got in our starting five. Brandon is here, and you, Grandpa, in at 3. Alan is checking in at 4. Husker David, what's up? He says, shout out to Vince. Big Vince from North Platte, transferring in from Montana back into his native Nebraska. Jettatone going to be in the mix for a linebacker spot. That's a great get for Nebraska. I know they were interested in him on the recruiting trail. KG is here. He is checked in. Tuck says, what's up? Tuck is making the prediction today is the day that Elijah crashes.
Not at all.
Brian is here. Good to hear from Brian. Anonymous also in. If Fred doesn't get at least one more interior player, next year could be ugly. That on the basketball portal thoughts from Anonymous. Well, William Kyle is off to UCLA. I thought Mick Cronin was going to go to Michigan. Honestly thought that's where that direction would go. That's not the case. We'll kind of we'll rewrite some Heisman wrongs in a moment. And Babbers has been a Heisman voter for a long time, so I want to get his take on it. But before we do that, recruiting thoughts, Elijah, because we're going to see some vanilla on Saturday. I'm a vanilla ice cream fan. That's fine with me. I'm just excited to see what the lines of scrimmage and the quarterback does. We have plenty more time Friday, Saturday to get into the spring game thoughts. What I do know is the recruiting weekend. Michael Terry is a five-star athlete. Michael Terry is a guy that is from the San Antonio region, and he's not a legacy Husker. He doesn't have family members that went to Nebraska, but nonetheless, Nebraska competing against the Texases and USCs and A&Ms to get that official visit. Michael Terry will be in Lincoln this weekend. The guy can play outside, wide out, running back, safety slash hybrid linebacker. Good story in the World Herald on Michael Terry, but that's a big get. That's a big Texas connection for Matt Rhule and his high school coaching relationships down there. So Terry is coming up to Lincoln. Cortez Mills, a wideout. You have Adonis Curry, that 6'2 quarter that will be in Lincoln this weekend. TJ Latif, the projected 2025 quarterback target. Yes, he's the target. Does he get in with Nebraska? Emmanuel Choice, a wideout also out of Texas. Terry Shelton, John Mills. That's your rundown with more names to be added possibly for Nebraska. That is from the high school ranks. How does Dylan Edwards grab you as a Nebraska fan? Edwards, the standout from Kansas, Nebraska, lost out in the recruiting race. And this was quite an interesting recruiting saga a year ago for Dylan Edwards, the running back from Derby High School out of Kansas. It was K-State, then it was Notre Dame, and then it turned in at the 12th hour to Colorado and Coach Prime. The kid, tremendous for a freshman, 76 carries, 321 on the ground, 36 receptions, just shy of 300 yards. So that's almost you know, 650 yards of total offense as a freshman. He was a pain in the ass trying to D up in Boulder because they'd put him out in the slot. Guy has moves, guy has speed, and he has some oomph after the run. So the chase is on for Dylan Edwards if you're Nebraska. The chase is on for sure if you're Kansas or Kansas State. Oklahoma was a team that had interest before Prime won the services, but Dallin Hayden, really talented running back from Ohio State, he decided to get into the portal. He landed in Boulder. That may have coaxed Edwards into the portal, and I don't know how good CU's NIL setup or situation is. I don't know about the distribution, if three guys are getting all of it or not. We'll talk to Coach Barnett tomorrow. But I really like this because, really, honestly, Elijah, the thing we're wondering about is that running back spot at Nebraska. It's concern may be too strong a word, but it's a question.
I'd say as spring has progressed, it's shown itself to be the biggest question mark within the Husker
Fair.
Team. How big a question mark is it? I think we'll probably have a bit of a better idea after Saturday in terms of what we see on the field. We haven't seen much from Dowdell. What does he look like on Saturday? I'm not willing to say that the alarm bells are ringing. They might be off in the distance with the running back position. I can just say, like, absolutely, it's the biggest question mark within the team. And it's the number one thing. Like, on Saturday, I'm going to, like, say, I think we can have a better idea. Because quarterbacks, it's one day in front of the fans. Like, you don't know. You don't know how vanilla the offense is. You don't know what type of defense is Tony White's going to be drawing up out there. One thing that you can always see in a spring game is how hard does a running back run? How well do they hit the holes? It's easy to tell after a Saturday. So I think as it stands right now, maybe this changes by Saturday. Maybe it doesn't. It's at least the biggest question mark on this Husker team.
Well, and the one thing you don't have to worry about with Nebraska, though, is their commitment. You have 1890, you have NIL. Nebraska may not be a leader with being able to outbid an A&M or a Texas or go down some schools, but they're in the conversation. They're in the conversation. They're competitive with that, but you don't want a kid, and there's just been a history of indecisiveness with Edwards. And we just told you about his recruiting story, and I'm not knocking or blaming. I'm just saying what is, and that is, let's stay home, and K-State's a good program. Here's Notre Dame. That's bright and shiny. Totally get it, that mystique of Notre Dame. And then here comes Coach Prime. But the kid performed. The kid played well.
Well, I'm not going to hold that against you.
I'm not either. I'm saying, is this round two? I mean, how hard do you want to chase? And is he leaving because he doesn't want to jack around with competition? Is he leaving because the NIL's really light in Boulder? Is he leaving because it's a bleep show in Colorado and they're not going to win any ball games? So what's the why? Why is he leaving? Nebraska will no doubt, and you have reports from On3 that Nebraska is going to make a really strong and hard push. He was the number one, number two running back overall in the state of Kansas, number 11 running back in the class of 2024, and a top 185 prospect. So not only was that what was supposed to happen coming into college, the kid performed well in an offense that, let's just be honest, didn't emphasize the running game, and that's okay because he is a dual threat running and receiving option in a lot of offenses. I think if Nebraska could get him, that makes you possibly feel a lot better. But is it a competition question or is it an NIL question? And right now, there's nothing in ink in that running back room. You feel pretty good about Emmett, and you don't know about the rest because of injury or inconsistency or just the age factor.
Well, you feel, I don't want to say you feel pretty good about Emmett. You feel all right about what he showed last year. The question marks are still there with him and really every single running back in that room.
Who's the guy?
Can anyone differentiate themselves and show themselves to be a three-down running back in the Big Ten? I think that's the big question mark with Emmett. Is he going to hold up physically in the Big Ten? If it's going to be a game plan of him getting 15, 20 carries a game, does he hold up physically over the course of a Big Ten season against the bruisers you're going up against? Gabe Irvin hasn't been able to make it out of his season. Ramirez coming off the knee injury. Like, there's just question marks with everyone. Dowdell, we barely even know anything about Dowdell. Didn't get all that much playing time at Oregon, flashed in his brief times, but how does he adjust to the Big Ten? Is he able to take the mantle for himself? Just a lot of question marks. And I don't think it's question marks that would be erased if you get Dylan Edwards into the boat, but I think based on what you saw at Colorado last year, there's a place in the offense for Dylan Edwards. I think you nail it with the why is he leaving Colorado in terms of is he a culture fit with Nebraska? But I think you see the talent and say, man,
he's a talent fit, but it's got to be about culture.
Based on the talent Nebraska has in the room, I think Edwards would be a guy that, should he pick Nebraska, would be getting a lot of playing time at Nebraska. That's the way I forecast the room right now, obviously not being there every single day. But I think Nebraska's going to make a push for him. I think he'd be a big get. Nebraska was in the race for him originally, so I think that's a plus. And hey, who wouldn't want to play with a five-star quarterback that seems to be living up to it in spring football?
Against Nebraska last season, 9 carries, 55 yards, that 34-yard run where he made a couple of guys miss and then hit the hole and went for a while. Catching the football, Nebraska did a pretty good job on him, 3 catches, 8 yards. Heisman thoughts. Do you agree with Mr. Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back? I'm of the opinion, I know times are different now, they weren't then. So do you reward cheating? and do this butterfly effect thing and undo history? If Reggie took all those extra air quote benefits that got SC in trouble, does he deserve his Heisman back?
Well, my question is, if Reggie doesn't get any of those payments, is he a worse running back on the field? Does he not win a Heisman if he's not getting paid?
He's still incredible on the field, but not incredible enough on 4th-and-1 against Texas. Lendale White.
Going there.
El Patron got the call. But, hey, Reggie was a ton of fun to watch. Best player in college football. I'm not arguing that. Searles is next. NFL Draft, Husker Football Thoughts. Babbers on the way.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
It's Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal, Mike Babcock coming right up. We are excited to talk some NFL draft and Husker spring football with our favorite Husker NFL lineman, Jeremiah Searles, in his Husker den at Searles71_HSKR. Papa Searles, as he's known around the household. Searles, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good. It's been a busy 2 weeks here getting ready for the draft. I've probably made over 300 phone calls and talked to anywhere between 4 to 5 people on each NFL team, just trying to paint a picture for where our clients are going to go, what they look at, prospects, the whole bit. So I'm excited and stressed and nervous and everything else for this weekend, but it's such a fun weekend of the year.
Tell me about some of your prospects, your clients, and you know what you're hoping for, what you're thinking about here Thursday through Saturday.
Yeah, you know, so hopefully we have a day two guy, Christian Boyd, a D tackle out of Northern Iowa, who has just been through the gauntlet of pre-draft stuff. He ended up having to go on 15-30 visits because he didn't get invited to the combine. So he might be the highest drafted non-combine guy, which would be awesome for him. And then I got 3 other O-linemen, a kid from North Dakota State, kid from Liberty, and a kid from Augustana. 2 of the guys should be day 3 picks, another one PFA, and the hope, and as we say in the agency, is no shattered dreams in May. So hopefully everyone has a team come the end of Saturday, and away we go.
Well, Searles, tell me really fast here, because we're experiencing this with some Husker guys this year as well. How does it work to be a guy who doesn't get a combine invite but still get some good looks from teams? Like, what is the communication like in terms of who gets a combine invite? Obviously, no Husker is there this year, but still a couple Huskers hoping to get drafted. How does that entire process work right there? And why do some guys end up getting drafted so high even though they aren't at the combine?
Yeah, you know, so the national, so there's two scouting services that the NFL uses, National and Blesto, right? And National's the one that puts on the combine, and National Football Scouting, right? The NFS, that's why it's the National Football Combine. And they have one or two scouts per team that is designated the national scout. And it's their job to go through all the teams in the spring and the fall and rank guys of who should be combine invites and who should not be, right? And it's a tough job. It's a hard thing to do. But sometimes guys just miss, right? And the way it is, it's a voting system. You have to have, I believe, 12 votes or more. So 12 teams or more have to vote and say, yes, I want to see that guy at the combine, or I want to see this guy at the combine. They've taken the agents completely out of it. There's no way to lobby a guy into the combine. There's no way to pull a favor. Like, we are excommunicado from the combine combine list. But yeah, so every team has a national scout that has to go through. And I mean, sometimes they just miss on guys, right? It's usually the smaller school guys, but there's guys time and time again that don't go to the combine that end up getting drafted. I mean, shoot, the guy from the Rams last year ended up going in the third round as a defensive tackle. I can't believe I've said his name about 100 times and it's escaping me at the moment. Kobe Turner, there it is. Kobe Turner went third round last year, didn't go to the combine, finished second defensive player of the year this year, right? So defensive rookie of the year. So there's lots of good guys that go not to the combine, end up getting drafted.
Well, is there any politicking? I mean, I understand the NFL is a game that has a lot of politicking. Is there any, like, some team thinks they found a diamond in the rough that they don't want anybody else to know about, so they're going to act like they don't like him? I think back to Connor Strange with the Patriots taking him in the first round a couple years ago.
Yeah.
A lot of teams thought they had a diamond in the rough. Nobody was talking about him, and then the Patriots go and take him in the first round.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, but in this today, in today's era of, I mean, these guys have 20 people on staff that are scouts. The idea of, like, some people thought Christian might fall, my D-tackle, like, oh, he might fall through the cracks. Like, no, he had 15, 30 visits. So he was busy, right? No longer a secret, right? It just doesn't work like that anymore. But I think there is a little politics as far as, like, how many small guys, small stool guys do we bring to the combine versus Power 5 guys and that piece. Like, there is a little bit of that that goes on.
Cyril's going to get your thoughts on the spring game headline Sunday as Cyril's gets his crystal ball out.
Headline Sunday, Donovan Raiola. Wow. Right. I think there's going to be a lot of that. And it's not going to be because he lights the world on fire. It's just everyone's excited to see him. Right. Everyone's excited to see him. I mean, few have got to go to practice, but this is going to be the first time. I mean, we've been talking about Donovan. We've been talking about Raiola since last January.
2 years.
Right. Like, and we've rode the roller coaster of he loves us. Oh, no, he hates us. He's going to Georgia. Oh, he's back. Oh, he's here. Like, this is the first time Husker Nation is going to get to lay eyes on this kid as a Husker, and it's going to be great. And I hope that he doesn't steal the show too much, because there's a lot of good talent there. But I do think the whole show is going to be around him, rightfully so. He's the highest ranked quarterback we've ever had, right? Like, that type of thing. So I think it's going to be a lot of him and a lot of Emmett Johnson.
Yep, hand it off and make a few throws, and away you go. What line are you betting on? Are you betting on pot roasts guys to win the day, the defensive line? Or you think Donnie Raiola's offensive line, and we're not going to see a lot of guys that have logged a lot of starts, but some of those younger pups?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting, because it's not going to be the battles we're used to seeing, right? It's not going to be Ben Scott versus Nash Hutmaker, right? It's not going to be Bryce Benhart versus Ty Robinson. Like, those dudes don't need to play a lot of snaps in the spring game. We need them in the fall. Right, you're going to see guys like Evan Jenkins versus Elijah Judy, right? Like, you're going to see those type of battles, which I'm excited for, because that's one position that the D-line last year, this time, question marks everywhere, right? Who's the depth? Who's the guys? Like, I didn't know anyone besides Nash and Ty. And now you got Van Poppel, you got Cam Lenhart, you got Elijah Judy, you got all these dudes that have worked in there through the fall, but we don't have that on the other side of the ball, right? You got Ben Scott, you got Bryce Benhart, who played a lot of football. Then you've got a lot of new faces. You got Teddy, who needs to stay healthy and looks like he's made it through a spring. Thank goodness. Right. And then you've got some really young pups and Gunner and some other young guys that you're just waiting to see kind of who emerges to become the next big guy that we're going to need, because very rarely do all five starting offensive linemen make it through a season healthy.
Searles, with the offensive line, some younger cats out there, but some guys that I think you also expect are going to get some playing time in the fall, whether it be because of injury, whether it be because of garbage time, whether it be because of Just a guy making strides through the summer and through the fall and working his way into a starting lineup. There's going to be guys out there that we see in the fall. And with those guys, Matt Rhule and Satterfield talked a lot about the importance of the run game, but now you have Dylan Raiola behind you at quarterback. Are you more concerned about their ability to run block or pass protect? What do you think is going to get these younger guys snaps in the fall?
I think it's run blocking. You know, anytime you have a freshman quarterback, regardless of how talented he is, you can't put everything on his shoulders. It's just not fair to him. It's not fair to him. It's not fair to his teammates. Like, you're asking a kid to fail. And what you want to do is surround him with a super solid run game, put him in pass situations that are friendly, right? Not live in, hey, if we're going to come out and throw the ball three times and all of a sudden we're in third and 10. No quarterback wants to be in third and 10, right? Let's be a good, efficient running the football team, put ourselves in second and manageable, put ourselves in third and short, open up the play action game, get the boot game going, get him rolling out, right? Don't ask him to be a statue back there. And so I really do think these young linemen are going to have to take big strides in the run game to prove they're ready to get out on the field, because as much as Rhule knows that, hey, we're going to have to throw the football, it's why we brought him here, he knows that in the Big Ten, games are won and lost, especially in November with the ground game.
Searles, let's spend a minute with the gap, right? I'm anxious to see with our own eyes the gap in that quarterback race. I think we're all thinking there's been separation by Dylan. Wonderful. What's Harburg truly look like with his improvement? Same with Danny Kaye. But what's that gap on the offensive line to your eyes? You've seen some practices. Mm-hmm. Not asking you to badmouth, but you've got your starters, and then you've got the guys that will be called upon at some point.
Yeah, you know, I think the gap's a little larger than Coach Raiola would like, and it's not really his – it's nothing his fault. It's just they're young. Right? It's just hard to ask a young player to come in here and be ready to go. I mean, the days of, hey, you're going to redshirt for a year, you're going to get a developmental year, you're going to put 20 pounds on, like, we don't have that luxury right now in the offensive line room, unfortunately. We have guys that are here that are either true freshmen or redshirt freshmen that we're going to need to be called upon. And that puts you in a tough spot as an O-line coach, because you don't want to do that to hamper kids' development. But sometimes out of necessity, you just need to do it. And it's not because the kid can't do it. He just may not physically be ready yet. And that makes it a really hard time to go out there when you're trying to survive. And you don't quite have all the physical tools that you need. Coming from a guy that started as a redshirt freshman and felt that a little bit when I got out there.
Searles, as we talk about, I guess, the offensive line, the rushing attack, there's been some rumors out there that Nebraska's reached out to Dylan Edwards, the running back from Colorado, in the transfer portal. With that, is that just trying to acquire talent, or does that give you some warning bells in terms of what the running back room is? Are you going to wait until Saturday, or are you going to also jump on the bandwagon of people kind of like me who've become a little bit concerned about the running back room through the spring?
Yeah, the only reason I'm concerned about the running back room is you look at who's in it and you go, okay, like Gabe Irvin obviously is great, hasn't finished a season. Ramir Johnson's coming off an injury, right? Emmett Johnson is young, looks like a promising young back. And then you got some other unproven guys, transfers in from Oregon. They're like, you want to get a young guy, which Edwards was a freshman last year, right? You want to get a young guy in here that you're going to say, hey, we're going to develop you for the next 3 years. So you're going to be our guy, right? Like, we don't have that guy besides Emmett in the room. And you want two of those guys. You always want to have two or three backs, because if there's a position that gets hurt more than any other position, it's the running back. And we saw it last year. I mean, once those guys started going down, the run game just went into the toilet. And so you want to make sure you have a stable of running backs. It's never a bad thing to have too many running backs.
Searles, talk to your Viking faithful about J.J. McCarthy.
Stop. I'm not a J.J. McCarthy lover. No. I haven't been since the day he left Michigan. I think he's going to get a guy fired. Like, I'm not a believer. I'm sorry. I'm not. And I planted this flag a long time ago, and people have tried to move me off my spot. But if I'm looking at the top tier quarterbacks, it goes Caleb, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Penix, McCarthy. Like, okay. That's how I have them listed. It probably doesn't go that way. But I think the Vikings, if Drake May's not there at 3, I think they sit at 11 and see who's still there.
Last thought here, Jeremiah Searles with us, NFL draft thoughts. And, of course, spring football thoughts with Nebraska on Saturday. Searles, I want to get your thought on that move, that bump up from college to the NFL. What's that experience like for a college guy to then make the jump into the NFL? Are locker rooms, or is it a different animal in the NFL?
Totally different beast, right? I mean, totally different beast. You come into college with a group of guys that you know you're going to spend the next 4 years with, right? Hey, we're all freshmen. We're enjoying this. This is fun. Like, you walk into an NFL locker room and there's a 33-year-old dude there that's married, has two kids, and he looks at you like, you think you're taking my job? Good luck. Right. And sometimes it's not a very friendly place to be. And then you come in with a bunch of rookies. And you're like, oh, this is fun. Right. And then you just start slowly seeing them all get chopped away. Right. Oh, there goes another one. There goes another one. And the reality of, wow, this dream can be over at any minute really starts to set in. Right. And it's just one of those things where it's completely different. It's now your job. It's very taken seriously. There's no scholarship. Like, it's a performance based deal. High stress, high reward, but one of the most cool things you'll ever do.
Who made you second guess walking into that locker room?
King Dunlap, 6'10", 350 pounds of him. One of the first person I met when I walked into the Chargers locker room. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. And then the second person was DJ Fluker, came up and shook my forearm with his hands. And I was like, what is happening? And what planet did I go to? Like, there's no way I can figure this out. But I did. We made it work. But those two humans showed me that, like, the NFL's a different beast.
Searles, enjoy draft weekend. Best to you and your clients. Thanks for a few minutes.
Absolutely appreciate you guys. Go Big Red.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Thanks for hanging out at Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal, Mr. Husker Football, Mike Babcock with us from Hail Varsity and Herd Ant Sports. Get Babber's twice weekly newsletter, and all you got to do is email Mike and do so at MikeB@HerdAtSports.com. Reminder to get to the Herd Ant Sports Bar and Grill Friday for that Team Jack panel. All proceeds go to raise money for Team Jack. It's Kenny Bell, it's Nate Gary, it's Amir Abdullah. Doors open at 5. The panel, hosted by Anna Bellinghausen, gets rolling at 5:30. Babbers, spring week. Spring game week is here. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I agree with everything Jeremiah Searles said. I appreciate you having me on and all. Talk to you next week.
Well, thank you for rearranging the schedule.
And Schmidt, I think it's funny how you introduced this week, your spring week in Nebraska, which is a great way to describe spring in Nebraska. It tends to only be a week long. So
you blink and you miss it. Well, Mike, we want to get into some Heisman thoughts. Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back. Eric Crouch retweeting that. And you've been a Heisman voter since the Barry Sanders era, correct?
Yeah. I'm trying to think, it might have even been a little bit before 88, but I've had the opportunity, and I think there's like 16 or 17 voters in the state, and there's a lot of passion. I kind of oversee the list now, and there's so much interest, and there are so many media outlets now, and Well, I'll give an example. They've got a rule. You have to replace somebody if they miss two consecutive seasons of voting, if they don't get their ballot in time. I've taken that to, if you miss one season, I'm going to replace you, because there are so many people that want to do it and want to be involved in it. And, you know, there's just a lot of interest, I think, in being involved in voting for the Heisman Trophy. And, you know, people – college football and have the expertise to do that.
Mike, did you take away any votes for people who did not vote for Ndamukong Suh in 2009?
No, I don't have any control over that part. I don't really know what people...
Mike ruling with an iron fist.
For whom they vote, I don't know.
I got an email from part. Mike Babcock. It says I voted for Colt McCoy, and therefore I know nothing about college football.
You have been lost your vote, you have been exiled from the state. But we wanted to kind of get into some Heisman rights and wrongs, as many feel that it was wrong to take Reggie's Heisman. He was the best player in college football that year. Things crept up about improper benefits, SC had wins vacated. Reggie's Heisman went goodbye. And Elijah and I kind of went through some years where, okay, you have 1997's Heisman where Woodson was incredible, but folks are still ticked that Peyton Manning didn't get the nod. That's pretty common. You've got Sue around these parts for sure. I mean, he finished fourth, but Mark Ingram got the Heisman nod over Toby Gerhart, Colt McCoy, and Ndamukong Suh. Sam Bradford had an amazing 08 season, got the nod over Tebow. Larry Fitzgerald, really good season. Jason White, video game numbers. And so what's your reaction to Bush? And I'm not asking who you voted for, but is this short list pretty good when it comes to Heisman arguments we came up with?
Well, yeah, and that, Tommy Frazier, you know, there was an argument there, I think.
95 with Eddie George.
Yeah, with Eddie George. And I don't know if, you know, each state has I think a different number of voters depending upon the size of the population.
Different electoral.
So it's more like the House of Representatives.
I don't know exactly how that,
got it.
How that goes, but and the country is divided into sections, and I think each section has the same number of votes. So that's a good thing. I was in favor of Reggie Bush getting the Heisman back. I think that from my point of view, USC paid the penalty for the violations. You know, there were the number of scholarship players they could have was reduced over a period, maybe just one season, or I don't know if it was more than that. And so I look at it from that standpoint. Was he the best player in college football? That's what the vote showed.
Yeah.
And I thought he should have. I don't know that he should have lost the Heisman, because again, the school paid the penalty, paid the price for what happened there, as I think should have been the case. And the other thing is, because he was so good and because he was high profile and because he played for a program, a national championship contender, while he was there, and what did they win? Couple while he was there?
They won it in 03. I think they split it in 03. They won it in 04. SC destroyed Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. 05, Texas, and Vince Young beat them.
Okay. So you're playing in a program that is that high profile. Things come out about your situation that probably don't come out about other players. I mean, I'm saying that I don't think he was probably the only player that received illegal benefits. You know, if that makes any sense.
He was part of a program that got caught with illegal benefits.
Yeah. And again, because of where it stood in the whole scheme of things, the success that program was having and the success that he had drew a spotlight on him that produced, evidence of what had happened. But again, the school paid the price, as it should have. I didn't think that he should have lost the trophy, because I thought that he was the player that deserved it.
Well, also to add to it, like, it was a landslide that year. He was by far and away the best player
Incredible.
In college football. We all knew it. I mean, he got almost
Vince 8, was pretty sweet too.
But Reggie got almost 800 of the almost 900 first place votes. Like, he almost took 90% of the Heisman voters votes as the first place guy. Like, it was an absolute landslide him winning the
Heisman. That's with the previous Heisman winner handing off to him.
Well, and look at the players you got. Like, the top four that year: Bush, Vince Young, Matt Leiner, Brady Quinn. He won it over some good players, and it was in a complete landslide. That's how good he was.
He won it over an incumbent. Babbers, we've got about 30 seconds before a hard break. Can we keep you on the other side? Talk
sure,
to spring
that's
ball.
Fine.
All right.
Mike, I'll try to think of something of substance to say.
No, you're good. Mike Babcock is with us from Hale Varsity and Herdat Sports. Bill Bender going to join us from the Sporting News, his take on the NFL draft and Nebraska football.
Oh, quick.
What's up?
Oh, so I want to quickly get one last thought from Mike on the Heisman, if possible. Mike, if you were in charge, would you be giving that Heisman to Sue in 2009? I know you can't do it now, but would you?
I would have. Mm-hmm. But, there haven't been any players. I mean, Woodson is the one guy that comes closest to not being an offensive player, solely an offensive player, right?
Mm-hmm.
That has won that award. It's kind of you kind of look to the Lombardi and Outland for those kind of guys. But, yeah, I thought Sue deserved it.
More with Mike Babcock. Hail Varsity continues, powered by Cornhead Lager.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
A few more minutes with Mike Babcock from Hail Varsity and Herd at Sports as we wind down our one. Bill Bender on the way, NFL draft and Nebraska thoughts. Year two for Rhule. Mike, what do you expect to learn Saturday with Nebraska, Dylan Raiola, and the running back room?
You know, I do agree with Jeremiah. I think the focus is going to be on Dylan Raiola, the opportunity to see him. And I think the spring game is like recruiting, okay? Like when you recruit somebody, they're as good as you want them to be, as your imagination can make them, until they get on the field. And then you find out whether they can play or not. Same with the spring game. I think people come away with optimism in the from what they see in the spring game, because the team can be as good as you want it to be at that point from what you see out there until you get to the fall and you start playing games. So I think people will come away with optimism. I think they'll come away with the evaluation of the quarterbacks. I think that's obviously the focus, with Raiola probably at the top of that. But you want to see how Harburg has improved. You want to see Kalen, see what he can do out there, because I think the competition will continue in the fall, even though we don't really have a good idea of where things stand right now. And we're going to see limited some of the first-string guys, offensive and defensive line. We're not going to see a whole lot of that, because you're going to get guys in there that you want to get some experience, and you know guys – that are coming back that have the kind of experience that you want, and you want to keep them healthy for the fall. So I think it's going to be optimism, and you're going to feel good about the what you see from the team. And, you know, you should, because I think that Rhule has a good approach to what he is trying to do here. I think the players are buying in. I think he holds players accountable. I think he holds assistant coaches accountable. I think he holds himself accountable. And I think those are all things that that are going to make this team reason for optimism going into the fall.
Mike, whenever we discussed the spring game, last thought here, about 60 seconds. Last year, it was 8 fumbles where he looked and said, that's concerning, but at least there's time to get it fixed. Like, what is your take on – there's going to be concerns that come out of the spring game. That's how it goes just about every single year. How much stock do you put into any of that?
Well, not a lot. It's kind of like what Rhule said, you know, the head coach. You're the head coach. You're watching the spring game. The offense goes down and scores. You feel good about the offense, but you don't feel good about the defense. The defense intercepts the ball, recovers a fumble or whatever. You feel good about the defense. You don't feel good about the offense. So it's like a you don't win either way kind of a thing. But, I think it's the same way with fans. You have to look at it that way. You know, and you don't want that many turnovers again. That's not something. If that happens, maybe that optimism that I'm talking about is not quite there.
It's Mike Babcock with Hail Varsity, Herd at Sports. Get his biweekly newsletter at MikeB@herdatsports.com is where you can log on and get that subscription. Babbers, excited to see you Saturday for another spring game. Thanks for giving us time today. Always appreciate you, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
There he is, Mike Babcock, Heisman man since 1987, dare I say, the Tim Brown era. We'll get to Bill Bender, sporting news next hour, hour two with Hail Varsity.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Back into it at Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager. Let's talk some NFL draft with the senior writer for the Sporting News, Bill Bender, back with us at Bill Bender 92. Bill, you making your way to Detroit, or is it the recliner for the draft, man? Should be a pretty good spectacle Thursday. Thanks for the time.
No, yeah, I'll be home. And, you know, I'm a kind of a draft veteran there at Sporting News. We just had our final draft meeting. It's kind of the same. I run the same plays every year. We do the winners, losers. We follow along. We have a ton of pre-draft content up for your listeners to catch up on all those first-round decisions.
A lot of first round intrigue, and you know the quarterback class is always scrutinized, and a lot of good options. Is it boom or bust with that position? Deep wide receiver draft, ton of offensive tackles, some edge guys. I'm probably missing some of the spots, but you know the spots that make the money and also cause for sales signs to go in front yard. So as you look at this, as much college football as you see and you know, what do you make of this quarterback class just as a whole?
Well, I mean, you could have a couple things. There's two layers to this to me. There could be six quarterbacks drafted in the first round. You could see J.J. McCarthy, a team like Minnesota, trade up for him. You could see Michael Penix and Bo Nix go in the first round. And if you look at next year, and I'm cheating by a day because we'll have this tomorrow. You look at the top quarterbacks in next year's draft, you might want to get your guy now. Because next year we're going to be talking about Shedeur Sanders, possibly Quinn Ewers. And then it's a ton of guys that are going to have to prove themselves next year. Those five, six quarterbacks can go in the first round. Outside chance you get four quarterbacks go in the first four picks.
It's Bill Bender with us here on Hail Varsity Radio.
And Bill, when you talk about the quarterbacks here, is the smoke around J.J. McCarthy that we've seen over the weekend potentially going number two, do you think that's real? Do you think that's agents throwing that around? Do you think that's teams throwing smoke screens? What's your take on just the drama we've seen with J.J. McCarthy? At least according to the sports books, his odds of going number two have skyrocketed.
Well, I mean, it could happen. And, you know, I've written a lot about him, as you guys know, cover the Big Ten pretty closely. And I have a different opinion on McCarthy than most because I think it's worth it. I saw a guy at Michigan, and you guys know this from watching the Michigan-Nebraska game last year. They didn't ask him to do too much, but when they did, he made plays. He made plays on third down. He made plays on fourth down. He's got those leadership qualities that NFL types love. And, you know, I see him, and I'm getting made fun of a little bit in our office about this comparison, but I see him as a guy that could have a career that's very similar to Jim Harbaugh, who on one hand was never, you know, the best quarterback in the league. On the other, he played 15 seasons.
Kirk Cousins-esque, would you say? Is that the modern comparison?
That's not a bad comparison either. And if you're getting Kirk Cousins, you can't say, hey, that's bad. You know, the one I always use in text with my buddies, I was like, you can't say, like, Jay Cutler and Andy Dalton had bad NFL careers. They played for a very long time. They just didn't have success in the playoffs. And, you know, McCarthy's a guy I really like. And now, would I take him over those first three quarterbacks? No, I wouldn't take him over Caleb or Drake. I'd have the internal conversation with Jaden, but I still think I would take Jaden Daniels over him.
Bill, I'm a Bears guy, and obviously it's going to be a big night on draft night for the Bears. With the first pick, I'm curious about your thoughts regarding the ninth pick. What direction do you think Chicago is going to go there?
Well, you know I'm a Packers guy, so I hope the wrong direction.
Should have seen that coming.
Well played.
So, I think receiver, right? Is that what you want? But which one do you want? And there's no wrong answer. So, a couple interesting things here. I've been reading today, you know, whether it was from The Athletic and talked about it, that Malik Nabers could be the first receiver taken in this draft, which I find very intriguing because of his speed and what he was able to do. If the Bears were I'll ask you this back. Would you be most excited if the Bears somehow got Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison out of this first round?
That's what I was going to follow up with, because there has been a lot of smoke with Marvin Harrison Jr. I would personally be excited about that just because I've watched a ton of them, him being in the Big Ten, just like the whole J.J. McCarthy situation. But, yeah, that smoke is really interesting to me. And as a Bears fan, I would be more than okay with that happening. But, you know, I think any wide receiver that you can have at pick 9 is probably going to be in that upper echelon.
Right, and Rome could still be there, and Rome's not a consolation prize. He's really good, especially in the contested catches, could form a dynamic connection with Caleb Williams. And, you know, again, as a Green Bay guy, I'm not liking this, that Caleb's going to be in the division and that J.J. McCarthy's going to be in the division potentially, because I like both of those quarterbacks. The other thing to watch is who makes the move, if someone makes the move, for Drake May, the North Carolina quarterback that continues – you know, he's probably around that 2 or 3 range. I love Drake May's game. I do. I'm biased, though, because I wrote a profile on him a couple years ago and just loved listening to him. You can tell he's an all-ball type guy.
It's Bill Bender with us here on Hail Varsity Radio talking some NFL draft. And, Bill, Connor's the Bears guy. I'm the Broncos guy. I'm not going to ask you about the Broncos. I just need a blindfold and a cigarette for the draft. Whatever happens, happens. We'll see. I've already been beaten down by the uniforms and Zach Wilson this week. We don't need to talk about the Broncos anymore. But I do want to piggyback on Connor's question here, because I think the Bears have a really unique opportunity in this draft to really build something. I like the roster that they have. They can bring in a quarterback. They can bring in a wide receiver one. And you kind of saw what happened whenever the Texans were able to bring in a really good quarterback last year, wide receiver one, with a roster that was closer than a lot of other teams picking in the top 5. They're a playoff team. I'm not saying the Bears are going to be a playoff team next year, but I want to get your thoughts on a team that you think can really make a jump next season if they're able to really have a successful draft and get a good crop of rookies.
Well, I mean, you've seen what Detroit – I think teams might start following the Detroit model of just aggressive and taking who you want to take regardless of what the critics say, right? Like, we kind of picked on the Lions about taking Jameer and Jack Campbell last year, and or Laporta. Well, not so much Laporta. I kind of knew he was going to be all right. But those guys were all contributors on a team that played in the NFC Championship game last year. So I think you'll see a little bit of that. Very intrigued to see what the Chargers do with Jim Harbaugh in his first draft. And that's the team I'm kind of eyeing, because what does he do to surround Justin Herbert? They are the one team in the top 5 that I can honestly say I really have no clue what it is. And that comes from the experience of covering Jim Harbaugh, when I would tell my editors, you know what, I don't have a clue what he's going to say. And I was typically right on those ones.
Bill, let's talk a minute here about Caleb Williams. A lot of flack leading up to the draft. Things have settled down a little bit, and what do you project him as in the league? Do you look at him as a guy that's going to be Pro Bowler, better, savior? Do you think, all right, if he stays healthy, really good starter, or could be an issue that ends up on another team at some point? Because, you know,
you're scaring me, Schmitty.
Well, it's going to happen, especially at quarterback. When you go number 1 overall, it's not a sure thing. So there's 3 doors.
Yeah, I can't take credit for this comparison because my editor, Bill Troche, made it. You can see a career trajectory very similar to Cam Newton. And
Super Bowl.
A lot of reasons why. Remember, we used to dissect what Cam Newton wore to the press conference every week. I was always annoyed by the story because I think it took away from the talent that Cam had on the field. And he made that run with the Panthers to the Super Bowl. And I remember how they rallied around him. But when they first took him, you know, there was much more controversy around Cam in college. I don't think Caleb had a controversy in college. No, I mean, just people want to look at his fingernails and want to, you know, pick at his clothing choices, which I really don't care about. I can't say whether NFL teams do or whether the guys in the locker room will. I don't think they will, because it comes down to winning football games and making plays, and he can do that. And if he builds – if he turns Chicago into a winner, a franchise that is so starved for quarterback, I don't have to tell you that, starved for quarterback play and all those things, he'll become a celebrity instantly.
I'll just say, I made the comparison earlier. I see a rookie season like C.J. Stroud for Caleb Williams. I think he's got good pieces in Chicago. I think he's got way too much talent. We'll see how he fits into a locker room. That's kind of the question to me. I love Caleb Williams, though, despite all the
you guys are driving me nuts
him.
In there.
I didn't think C.J. do what he did this soon, but he was awesome.
He was great.
He was awesome.
I said last year on this time. I said last year on this time. I thought he should go number one, but nobody listens to Elijah Herbal.
No, nobody.
C.J. was safe. And because of the size and the accuracy that we saw at Ohio State. And that's one thing CJ punched through that Caleb's going to have to punch through is there was a stigma, there still is, around Ohio State quarterbacks in the NFL. And, I mean, you guys, I'll go down the list of first-round QBs from USC in recent seasons. Those are guys like, I mean, you have to go back to Carson Palmer, had a good career, but, I mean, Darnold, Leinart, we go all the way back to Todd Marinovich. That's not one. You know, so he's going to have to be that USC quarterback that really shows up as a first-round QB. I think the talent's there. I like what he does to the game. You know, he had a rough season last year. I think the one concern I would have about Caleb Williams is just go back and watch that Notre Dame game and how flustered he got in that game. Mm-hmm. That was very rare, and that was a very good defense that he faced. And that's going to be the NFL game. He's going to have to stay on script more than he likes, if that makes sense. Because I don't like the Patrick Mahomes comparison, because to me there's only one Patrick Mahomes.
Bill Bender's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio.
And, Bill, we just talked about the guy, consensus number one. Give me a guy that you think might fall down the draft boards, a guy that is a bit of a sleeper pick. Who's the guy that you like that you think has a long and fruitful NFL career, despite not being a guy who's top 15, top 20 off the board?
Well, Brock Bowers might slip. Why wouldn't you take Brock Bowers? That's my question. I mean, I go – some of the time when I do these things, and as somebody that concentrates more on the college football game, I just am like, that guy dominated college for the last 2 years. He was the best player on the field every time I watched Georgia play. And, you know, despite the injury, he was awesome. So he's a guy to watch. Jared Burse is another guy that fits in that discussion to me. You know, Florida State. Every time I watch Florida State, it didn't take me long to find Jared Burse on the tape. And those are the guys that I think do well at the next level. So I'm interested to see. I got a sleeper for you. The guy out of Toledo. I don't even think he's a sleeper now. We all know who Kenyon Mitchell is. Mm-hmm. Corner from Toledo. The last couple drafts have produced awesome corners, household names at corner. He's probably not that, but I mean, he's got it all. And I think he'll do very well at the next level.
Guy I'm rooting for is Michael Penix Jr. I hope he lands in a great spot. I loved what he did at Indiana, loved him at Washington. Know he's got the knee and the medical history. Guy's just a baller. Do you think he can have a successful career?
Yes, I can. And I think the Raiders are such a make sense spot there.
Yeah.
But I hope that happens. You know, one thing with him, his draft stock really fluctuated in the college football playoff. He went from, you know, obviously the monster game at Texas where the ball barely touched the turf to, you know, the Michigan guys were in his face all night, and that was a long night for him. So I think he'll have to improve under pressure and with the blitz coming, which is something that, you know, obviously all NFL quarterbacks have to learn. But as far as a guy that's definitely got through injuries and we've all seen the story he's had, yeah, definitely happy for him.
I just wanted to touch on another Big Ten guy from Michigan because we talked about J.J. McCarthy. But Blake Corum, I'm seeing that he's kind of on that, you know, late first round, early second round kind of fringe line. Where do you see him ending up? What's a good situation for Blake?
Well, I mean, I think he looks to me a little bit like Devin Singletary did with Buffalo. You know, like an undersized running back that will do all right, but I mean, there's a little bit of an injury history. The size is the thing that they get on with Blake Corum. But certainly a guy that's going to have success at the next level. One thing about Blake Corum, covering him the last couple of years, best locker room guy possible.
Mm-hmm.
Best guy possible to have. Scored a ton of touchdowns. Love his vision and feet. I do think the Devin Singletary comparison. Maybe not a star player at the next level, but he will contribute, and I think he'll have a nice NFL career.
We're going to talk a little college football here, Bill, while we got you. Bill Bender, Sporting News, catch sportingnews.com with their draft coverage. Senior writer with us here at Bill Bender 92 on Twitter is where you follow Bill. Spring game is Saturday for Nebraska. A lot of good work and word on the quarterbacks, just the jump with Glenn Thomas coaching them specifically. But interested to get your thoughts here, Bill, as you look at Nebraska and the year two jump you're anticipating for Nebraska with Coach Rhule. A lot coming back on defense and a better quarterback situation, presumably without the turnover bug for Nebraska next season.
I think you know who we're going to be watching in the spring game.
Yes.
This quarterback that's a freshman that Ryle was definitely going to have our eyes on him. And, you know, where does this go with Matt Rhule? Obviously, he created some momentum, but momentum is really real through recruiting. And I think that's helpful. So I'm excited to watch Nebraska. I'm going to check that game out this weekend. I know the crowd will be there. And, you know, we're wrapping up spring football. And with the portal coming, I'm wondering how much love we're going to see with Nebraska and where their placement is going to be in this much larger Big Ten. But they're going to be in that second to third tier, and a team we're going to have a really close watch on because of the quarterback situation improving with Raiola especially.
We'll see if Nebraska takes that step forward. Bill Bender with his Sporting News, at Bill Bender 92 on Twitter. Bill, we'll check in again soon. Thanks for a few minutes.
Hey, no problem. You guys enjoy the draft, and thanks as always.
Good stuff from Bill Bender. We'll dive back into the visitor weekend. Evan Bland joining us from the World Herald. That's on the way.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Reminder, Roadshow tomorrow with Hail Varsity in the single barrel. Down inside the Graduate, 9th and P, 4 to 6 tomorrow, and we'll be there again Saturday, 8 to 10 for the pregame show before Nebraska's spring game. Evan Bland joins us now from the Omaha World Herald, at Evan Bland, OWH, on Twitter. Evan, a lot to get into. How you doing, man?
Doing all right. How are you guys?
We're good. We are good. We'll get into some Big Red baseball in a moment. Tough one last night. What's your take here on Dylan Edwards, the product from Derby High School, the Dylan Derby here with K-State, Kansas, it looks like A&M and Nebraska. How nice a fit do you think he could be for the Nebraska running back room portal-wise?
Well, I think he could be a fit for quite a few schools out there. I mean, you think about his pedigree out of high school. He was someone who could catch passes, who could run between the tackles, who had the speed, and, you know, he showed it in flashes at Colorado last year. And so this is, you know, the world of college athletics that we're living in now, where a guy commits somewhere and you just kind of put a pin in it and say, okay, let's see what happens in a year or two. And sure enough, he's back on the market, and you would think the home state schools would, have their say and have their audience as he makes his decision. You know, oftentimes guys at this point of the calendar year, especially, go in kind of knowing where they're going to end up. I don't know that that's the case with Dylan, or what his situation is exactly. But certainly, when you look at his abilities and you look at Nebraska's running back room, which is a mix of older guys, there's some injuries there, some younger unproven players, you could see a scenario certainly where he could come in and add a different element, a little bit of college experience to that room as well. So we've seen Nebraska already be quick in its addition of Vince Genitone from Montana earlier this week, yesterday. And so it does seem that Nebraska is interested, and I guess we'll just see how mutual that interest is.
Evan, I want to get your thoughts on Vince Genitone here in just a second, but first, with the Nebraska running back room, I think as spring has gone on, it's become pretty clear that there's more question marks there than anywhere else on the team. My question to you is, have those question marks reached the point of warning bells to you? Are you concerned about that running back room, or are question marks just that, question marks?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's just a lot of unknowns. I don't know that it's any worse than last year's running back room. Like, you know, I think maybe the outlook on that room would have been different if Gabe Irvin had had a healthy season, if Ramir Johnson had had a healthy season. And, you know, as it stood, they both missed most of the year with injuries. And so we got to look at Emmett Johnson, who I thought was, you know, impressive in the chances that he got. He's probably the guy that I've heard the most positive things from as far as coaches and players and what he can do in a whole variety of different ways. You know, you continue to hear good stuff about Quentin Ives, who still hasn't seen the field in an actual game, but coaches are really high on. Dante Dowdell was the addition, who you know, is kind of regarded as still a pretty young player in that room, but certainly has the pedigree. So I think there are a lot of possibilities in that group, not a ton of you know, proven talent. I mean, as good as Gabe Irvin is, he's coming off his second major leg injury as a college player. Ramir Johnson, we've seen it in flashes, but whether through injury or usage, he hasn't been a consistent force as well. So I think there are some nice players there, but you know, I don't think anyone would blame Nebraska for wanting to go out and add a playmaker of the caliber of Dylan Edwards either.
Evan Bland with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. Evan with the Omaha World Herald. I have your Husker football and baseball coverage this weekend. Evan, how does Michael Terry grab you, one of many prospects that'll be on campus Saturday? And this is another five-star. Nebraska fans, I think, can kind of get used to this five-star visit thing.
Yeah, a five-star kid from San Antonio, I believe. Sam had a good piece on him on our site. I think that's up now about just, you know, Terry's one of those guys who can kind of frustrate coaches in the best ways. Like, hey, is he a receiver? Is he a running back? He could be an elite safety maybe at the next level. So, like, there are a lot of places where he could fit in. I know Nebraska's recruiting him as a receiver, so we'll see how that goes. But absolutely, I mean, anytime you can headline your spring game with a five-star kid, and Nebraska has a number of other highly sought-after recruits that are going to be on campus as both officials and unofficials, it's a big deal. So as we've heard how many times over the years, getting a kid to campus is a huge deal for Nebraska, just because oftentimes it does break some stereotypes about stadiums surrounded by corn, and you get to see the fan experience, you get to see the facilities, meet with the academic folks, and let those people have their moment with the parents and the family. So, yeah, it's a cool thing to get him here. It doesn't happen very often, right? I mean, you think about Dylan Raiola, of course, in the last cycle, Micah Parsons back in the day when he was wowing the crowds at the Friday Night Lights event, you know, a handful of summers ago. So when it does happen, it's a pretty cool deal, kind of a special situation, and we'll see what kind of impression Nebraska is able to make.
Do you put Terry in the same echelon of Micah Parsons and Dylan Raiola? That's a lofty comparison.
Well, they're five stars, and there just aren't a lot of those guys. So will his career turn out to be what Micah Parsons has? I don't know. Maybe. You know, I think about Parsons when he was at that FNL event. I mean, he was a defender who just on a whim decided to catch some passes and was smoking four-star cornerbacks at Memorial Stadium. Like, that was a special brand of athlete. I think Terry maybe is sort of entering that conversation a little bit. We'll see how things go, but you know, it does turn your head a little bit. Ranking, people can kind of poo-poo rankings, and I get it, but there's just a handful of those guys that can be special difference makers at a lot of different spots, and Terry is one of those guys. And you know, again, even if Nebraska doesn't get him, just getting him to campus when there's a finite amount of visits and schools that he can really focus on is a big deal.
Evan Bland's with us here from the Omaha World Herald, Hail Varsity Radio. So Michael Terry's a guy considering Nebraska, a guy that's decided on Nebraska. Evan is Vince Ginnitone from North Platte, spent two seasons at Montana, one of those a redshirt season. A guy with a world of athleticism, needs to develop as a football player. What's your take on how he fits into the Husker football program?
Yeah, I mean, I think he fits the mold of what we've seen a lot of takes be for Nebraska under Matt Rhule. I mean, all the physical measurables are there. When you look at his frame, when you look at his speed, his strength, you know, all that stuff stands out. That's the kind of, those are the traits that Matt Rhule has targeted, whether that's from highly touted recruits or more under the radar guys. And I think you got to credit Matt Rhule and Nebraska for acting pretty quickly. I mean, Vince Shenatone comes to practice for a visit on Tuesday morning, and by that night, he's committed to the program. So talk about a reverse in course from Genitone's experience with Nebraska a couple of years ago when he was kind of slow played by the previous staff and they wanted him to walk on, and he ended up taking a scholarship at Montana. So cool chance for him sort of on the way back around. And you know, we spoke with him the other night, and he said development is his thing, and you can understand why, again, with the physical ability that he has to come to a place and a coaching staff that's building a reputation as one that makes guys better and advances careers. Like, you can see why that would be attractive for him, of course, also in his home state. So cool deal that came together quickly, and just another example that it's so hard to talk about potential transfers every year because you just don't know who's going in. I don't know that people expected him to be in the portal, but when he was, Nebraska acted quickly, and they feel like they added a playmaker.
Evan, are you going to walk away Saturday with optimism for Nebraska football?
I mean, I guess we'll see how it goes. I think so. You know, I think I don't know how much the defense can do one way or the other that would, you know, change kind of my opinion on them as a veteran, you know, really talented group, especially up front. I guess to me, you know, and just like everybody else, I'm going to be watching the quarterbacks, but I think it's just the consistency of it. Like, how many times in the last handful of seasons have we seen opposing defenses stack the box and just dare Nebraska to beat them over the top or to make a throw or to hit a screen pass or a swing pass? And Nebraska, you know, oftentimes hadn't been able to do it. So, like, that's the kind of thing I'll be looking for on Saturday is how about just their little routine pass plays? How do Riola and Kalen and Harburg look in those situations? Are they making the right read? Is there a diversity to the offense that opens up because those guys can be more reliable passers maybe than what Nebraska's had in the past? So, you know, I think the explosive plays will be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of the younger skill players, especially at receiver, and how that plays out. But I do think just when you talk about Nebraska taking that next step in the fall, it's got to start with the trigger man. And can that guy be reliable, consistent, and diversify Nebraska's offense? I think maybe we'll get a little bit of a sense of that on Saturday.
Evan, we got about 2 minutes here. We're going to need to get to baseball, but quickly, just a name real quick. What guy not named Dylan Raiola will we be talking about come next week on this program?
Could be a lot. I'm going to go Bly Hill. I think his ascension from FCS transfer to potential starting corner, we'll see what he can do.
Evan, last night, no good for Nebraska. Struggled, didn't take advantage of 9 walks. Will afterwards said can't get emotional, but reaction and look ahead this weekend real quick.
Yeah, just kind of a confounding thing for Nebraska baseball right now. When you win 8 of 10 weekends to this point, but now you've lost 4 straight midweeks, including to a Kansas team that's okay. It's an okay team, but that's a team in Lincoln with what Nebraska has on the line that you would expect to beat, and it didn't happen. You know, I think the pitching sort of is what it is at this point. I think you can kind of tell there are 3 starters that you feel good about, and after that you just don't know what you're going to get. I think maybe the more frustrating part for Nebraska has been the offense, and just when you look at the scoreboard at the end and say, hey, you know, you put up 4 runs against kind of the middle part of Kansas's staff, like, that's probably just not going to get it done. So I think that's probably the most disappointing part there. And now they pivot to Iowa this weekend, which was the preseason Big Ten favorite. Their starting pitching is really volatile. They're going to strike out a ton, but they're probably going to walk a bunch too. So how selective can Nebraska be with the pitching? And then Iowa maybe hasn't been known for its lineup, but it's one of the best scoring lineups in the Big Ten too. So I would expect some higher scoring games if Mother Nature cooperates this weekend. And Iowa under Rick Heller has tended to have Nebraska's number through the years. So it's a big weekend for Nebraska as it tries to stay on pace in the Big Ten and in the at-large conversation.
It's Evan Bland with the Omaha World Herald at Evan Bland, OWH. Evan, we'll check in with you Saturday. See you in the press box. Appreciate you giving us a few minutes today, man.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks. See you
there. There is. Good stuff. folks chiming in the stream. Dylan Edwards weighs 170 pounds. Ross is concerned about that. That's all good. And he's not wrong. He's asking the question, do 170-pound running backs last long in the Big Ten? Chew on that.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Time for a Jock Doc Wednesday, Nebraska Orthopedic Center. Dr. Brandon Seifert with us. And Dr. Brandon, let's talk a little baseball. How are we doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, fellas. Absolutely, let's talk some baseball. I can't believe it's upon us already.
It is. And how many baseball fractured rib injuries have you heard or seen in your time?
You know, fortunately, pretty rare having the fractures, but obviously you think about all the stuff they do. It's pretty easy to have collisions on the field and you're running into another player. Pretty easy to have a collision with the catcher. Obviously, the big thing you think about, you know, taking a baseball shot to the ribs, whether you're a hitter or out in the field. So, you know, it's surprising it doesn't happen more often than it does.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing, Dr. Brandon, because I know pitchers will say they don't target hitters, but whenever they do, where they typically aim, right between the numbers where you turn the back and get him in the ribs, you would think it'd be an injury you see more in baseball, but we got Cody Bellinger on the injured list with fractured ribs, and it wasn't from that at all. It was from crashing into a wall.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, kind of that the concept there is, you know, either A, that direct impact into something, you know, stationary object, a wall, another player is part of it. The other thing, too, is you think about just kind of in general the ribs and kind of the shape and the anatomy of those, it's kind of like an accordion. So, of course, your ribs, your chest walls are to protect your internal organs, but that also does kind of function in a way kind of like an accordion, kind of allow you to kind of flex one way or the other with the rotation piece, the flexion bending piece. And as you do that, you know, there's this kind of soft structure that's in between those ribs, you know, called cartilage. And so pretty easy as you kind of flex one way to stretch it on one side. If you kind of rotate, you know, vigorously, obviously you can stretch it in that direction. Or ultimately get to that kind of next level where if you have such a high impact that you have a fracture of the ribs.
We have a fracture we're talking about with Bellinger. And tell me about the healing process with it, how you get healed. I know rest and don't touch. I get all that. But as we talk a little bit here, timeline on return to play, and then just can you tweak this thing as well? I mean, I just think Bellinger, he was on a 8-game hitting streak, had 5 home runs this time of year, and I know how good he is with the bat, and just, you know, when you're swinging a bat, your ribs are involved just on that follow through.
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. So, you know, from all that perspective, you know, first we kind of talked about just the diagnosis itself. You know, originally had some x-rays taken that were normal, and that's pretty common. It's hard to see, you know, rib fractures, especially ones that are not displaced on x-rays. And so sometimes they'll go to that next level if you're having that much pain. Obviously, at the professional level, they order way too many imaging scans, but he gets a CT scan is likely what they saw. And on the CT, they actually saw a rib fracture. I'm guessing it was a CT. That would usually be the next step. Being that it's major leagues, they may have MRI'd him as well. But at any rate, they found the fracture. And so, you know, from a pain perspective, yes, these are quite painful. And really the big thing is just think about the function of these. So it's hard to get comfortable when you have one of these in terms of sleeping, sitting. All positions tend to irritate that area. And the biggest thing you think about is, you know, your ribs are involved when you expand your chest when you breathe. So every time you breathe, you're going to have issues there. If you cough or sneeze, it's pretty miserable, especially early on. Other, you know, muscular structures attached to that. So you can think about kind of the front side of your abdomen. Some of those abdominal muscles come up and attach onto the chest wall. And obviously, as you're, you know, rotating at the waist or, you know, flexing or moving to the side, you're going to irritate that. And then the same thing goes, like what we talked about, like oblique strains. Those big oblique muscles attach onto the outside. So as a throwing athlete, you're going to feel that even as you're swinging a baseball bat, you're going to feel it as you swing through and just stretch that whole area. So pretty easy with everything you're doing athletically, especially baseball, it's easy to kind of re-irritate. You talked about retweaking that area. Absolutely. So, you know, timetable on these is pretty variable. You know, he could get back as soon as, you know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, maybe sooner if he really wants to push it. But typically with these, it might be more like 4 to 6 weeks before he starts to feel like he's a little bit back in stride. But honestly, this probably is going to hurt for, you know, 3 to 6 months. Maybe just at an achy level, but it will be there. You'll notice it. until it finally heals.
Dr. Brandon, this is one of those injuries, too, that you really can't accelerate, correct? I mean, you can't accelerate through. There's really not a rehab process, is there?
No, it's really more time. I mean, obviously, you can do some local anti-inflammatory things, whether it be some ultrasound, some kind of gentle soft tissue mobilization, some stem, those kind of things. You could try some of the more experimental things in the area, such as like the PRP. We talked about that before, PRP stem cells, to see if you can't maybe speed up healing symptoms to the area. You could obviously go to the extreme portion of doing basically local anesthetic to the area, like some lidocaine and numbing shots before games or big workouts, and kind of help at least for a short amount of time. And obviously that comes roaring back when the numbing stuff wears off, which in this scenario is not a great scenario to utilize that so early in the season. That'd be more something to think about doing if it's, you know, World Series time or, you know, big playoff series.
Is there anything protective-wise that Cody can wear whenever he steps in the box? You think about the quarterbacks that wear the flak jackets in football to kind of protect that lower rib cage. Is there anything like that that Cody Bellinger can wear in order to protect himself whenever he does get back on the field?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a reasonable option. Those are they do have some lower-profile ones that are out there that you could utilize with baseball activities, and he might consider doing that initially with hitting just so he doesn't take a ball off that area. But they do restrict some of that, basically kind of hip rotation, waist rotation portion of it. It can be somewhat restricted for that. So that'll be kind of the balance for him, trying to figure out, can I wear some type of protection but still able to generate the velocity and that rotation I need to have the swing that I'm anticipating.
Dr. Brandon, you mentioned a little bit earlier, we're expecting to get some more news from the Cubs here in the coming days. You said that based on the fact that the initial x-ray didn't show a broken rib, you didn't think it was displaced. Tell me, with this fracture, what is the difference in the recovery process if it's displaced versus if it isn't displaced? How big of a difference is that for Bellinger here?
Yeah, and so, you know, from my perspective, as that displacement piece changes, so if you think about the further a fracture goes from just sitting in the spot where it's supposed to be, to being kind of way out of alignment, if you will, typically it's going to take a higher level force, a higher level trauma to get that to a point where it displaces more. That's typically how that works, law of Newton's physics there, most of the time. And so as you think about that, the further displaced that is, the more it kind of stretches, the more those other surrounding tissues are traumatized by that. And that just indicates kind of a longer, you know, recovery course. Again, it's more kind of an indicator of trauma. Obviously, if you get hit just right, you can have a pretty isolated injury there. The more non-displaced it is, less displaced that it is, usually the less the force, the less the surrounding tissue trauma or damage there is, less peripheral damage, and they tend to recover faster. Even though, again, any type of kind of rib injury, even if it's a single kind of rib fracture, these just are painful and annoying for a while if you've had one.
Well, just watching the video, Dr. Brandon Seifert with us at Jonk Doc Wednesday. Cody Bellinger was drifting back, kind of fumbled the ball, and then just at a short distance crashed into the brick within the ivy, the unfriendly confines, and it just hit. Must have just been that perfect or imperfect hit that did him in. Time for padding and Wrigley, yes or no?
Right. Hard to take away those old traditions.
Dr. Brandon,
I say just expand the warning track a little bit. Well, give him a little more time to be like, the brick's right there.
This is as I can get toe smashed like we out of the Dodger Stadium.
No kidding. Dr. Brandon, we'll check in again soon. Thanks for the time today.
All right, fellas. Take care.
Good to hear from Dr. Brandon Seifert, Nebraska Orthopedic Center. Some thoughts, final thoughts from us as we gear up for a road show Thursday at the Single Barrel with Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time, a Wednesday with Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal. And we'll check in tomorrow. Single Barrel, 9th and P inside the Graduates, where you can find us 4 to 6 tomorrow, Roadshow Thursday, back there 8 to 10 a.m., your pregame headquarters for the Nebraska spring game. We invite you down tomorrow. We invite you down on Saturday at the Single Barrel. Great steaks, tons of whiskey, beer, and all sorts of goodness. Are we going to hammer one of those monster carving boards like we did a couple of falls ago? Burger, sausage, three steaks.
I was a bad boy when it came to my diet this past weekend. That was not Cheetos. That was not Doritos. That was not that reason. It was a lot of good burgers and a lot of good food in Colorado. A really, really good breakfast sandwich on Monday, too. But yeah, I'm not sure how my waistline would feel about going for the butcher's board.
The butcher's board's incredible. Reminder to get buckled up. Use your seatbelt. It saves lives. It prevents injuries only if properly worn. Make it click. A message from the NDOT Highway Safety Office. Great stuff today from Jeremiah Searles and Mike Babcock on the Heisman and Reggie Bush. Be sure to check out both segments. Evan Bland. And yeah, it was Bill Bender from the Sporting News to talk NFL draft. Great stuff, and we appreciate all the guests coming on. Spotify, iTunes, Google Play is where you can download and get the audio / digital version over on Hail Varsity YouTube as well. Like and subscribe there. Give us a follow on the radio Twitter handle as well, at HVarsity Radio. And make sure you get your reservation for Friday. As just an incredible event you're invited out to with Team Jack at the Herd At Sports Bar and Grill in La Vista. That doors open at the La Vista Herd at 5, and the program begins at 5:30. A panel with some all-time Huskers. Anna Bellenhausen is going to be hosting that. Teddy Bell, Amir Abdullah, Nate Gary. Go see those guys. And all proceeds go to benefit Team Jack in their fight against pediatric brain cancer. 5 o'clock doors open, Herd At Sports Bar and Grill Friday. And 5:30 is when the panel starts. So get up there, check that out. The La Vista location just by the embassy, right off the interstate, and not too far from Costco or Cabela's. So that's the to-do list. Come see us at Single Barrel tomorrow. Herd At Sports Bar and Grill Friday for the Team Jack event. Saturday, 8 to 10, swing on by. Breakfast starts at 7 a.m. Every day at the Single Barrel. Pretty fired up, man, and we're getting to it. We'll dive into some more topics tomorrow. And Brandon Vogel from Counter Reed going to join us. Gary Barnett on the mess in Colorado. What's his take on the other Dylan? We've spent time talking about Dylan Edwards. We'll hear also tomorrow from Danny Burke, Burke's Best Bets, and Field Yates, NFL insider with ESPN. Right before the draft, Field going to join us and give us his thoughts on this 2024 NFL draft from Detroit.
One thing that I just thought of here, and this is a great way to close the show, you get Dylan Edwards in the boat, hypothetical, and mm-hmm. you do. Your defensive backfield could be Hill and Hill, and your offensive backfield could be Dylan and Dylan. I just think the NIL opportunities for law firms are perfect.
The firm known as, right?
Hill and Hill Law Firm, Dylan and Dylan Law Firm. Could work.
Yeah, that's not bad. Back tomorrow at 4 from the Single Barrel. Thanks.
A Herd At Media Production.